All right. Well, we are for yet another episode of the Drive to Stay Alive, which is a really good thing because that means I'm still alive. Despite all the situations I get myself messed up in and all the poor life choices that I do make, in the end, I always get out alive. And that can mean a couple different things. It could just mean that I'm incredibly lucky, and one of these days my luck is going to turn, and I'm not going to be so fortunate. Or it could just mean that there's someone up there looking out for me, and might mean that there's a couple extra special people up there looking out for me. Not just the big guy. But it also could mean something else. Well, that's one thing may have touched on in the past, but don't know if I've had a specific example as to point out why I believe in it. And that's this thing called karma. I am a believer in karma just because the world can't be all bad, and the world can't be all good. There has to be some form of balance to kind of either prevent you from feeling like shit all the time because everything bad is happening to you, or the reverse, where if nothing but good stuff has happened to you, then you, like, you feel like you're invincible and you have this inflated ego and you treat other people like shit because you're so high and mighty up on your horse. And so, whether or not it's controlled by some goofy space magic or a god up in heaven, like, karma, I think for the most part is real. Like, it seems like a force that is out there just kind of making sure that there is that balance in the universe. Like, no matter what happens, we're all just going to even out at some point. And it reminds me of a quote from the movie Almost Famous. And one of my favorite characters in that movie is Lester Bangs, who is played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, and done so fantastically. Like, his portrayal, his character is great, and he's great in every movie, but that's besides the point. But when he's talking to William Miller and he's, you know, saying, like, well, what do you like, the coolest kid in your school? Like, they must all love you. And then William's just like, well, they all hate me. And he's like, then they call me names and they treat me like crap, whatever, like that. But then Lester Bangs tells him, he says, well, don't worry about it. It's like, you'll meet them all again in the long road back to the middle. Which just kind of really says that, like, some people peak in high school, I think. I went to high school with a lot of people who, you know, the coolest, the best they ever are going to be is in high school. And they're the king of the school and they rule and everything. And those are the same people who are still wearing their letter jackets like 10 years later and going to the same bar and just, yeah, you know, they, remember high school was so awesome. Like, it's like, let go, man. Move on with your life. But just saying that, like, there are peaks and valleys. You're not always going to be high. You're not always going to be low. But when everything's said and done, everybody's going to even out back to the middle. I think it's just like a really good way to kind of look at it, to look at life. Because you can never be, like, too happy or too sad. And to really just kind of don't take everything too hard when things are bad. And don't be too overly excited when things are good. So I'm doing my best to kind of keep that in mind. in my life, especially now as I'm doing this drive to stay alive. And I've had some obvious examples in my life as far as things were going really good when I got to be in a movie and everything that came with that. And then things go really bad, like other things that I've brought up in the past about losing people I love and getting shit on in other places, and I'm guessing my health is not one of the good things. It's kind of like to balance it out, to keep me in check. It's going like, I was given this body. It's kind of some form of punishment, I don't know. But the whole reason I bring this up is because of the recent example. So, if you've been listening for the past 3 months now or whatever that I've been doing this, I haven't had a lot of good things to say. I've been trying to keep a positive outlook on it, but for the most part, my thoughts and my comments are pretty negative, just because that's how I feel. I've been kind of in a lull of just some kind of depression where the holidays were really rough, just because I don't like them to begin with, and then they're just not the same anymore. And so it has kind of seemed like there's been a lot of some like lows lately, and it's just kind of like it was really starting to bring me down, because when, like, they say that it rains, when it rains it pours, and it's partly your fault, I'd have to say. Like, it does kind of seem that when one thing goes bad, there's a lot of things that go bad at once. But the reason I say that it's partly your fault is because when something bad happens, you're already in a bad mood. And then so something that's not really that bad happens, but then you twist it around and make it bad. Because you're just like, oh, fuck, yeah, something else happened. God damn it. Like, I'm late for work, and then this happened. And then because, oh, God, like, I forgot that and shit. And then you just get mad because you think that things are piling on top of each other, but those are just normal day-to-day things that happen. But you create them to be bad because you're already in a bad mood. So that's why you got to try to stay positive. All right, I'm beating around the bush a lot here. I'm just kind of going away too much explanation. So I had been in a kind of a bad rut lately. And I was kind of just like beginning to doubt this whole balance and the whole karma thing. And then something really good happened to me yesterday. So first off, this past Sunday, January 27th, there was an event downtown called Brewers on Deck. And basically what it is, it's like just kind of like a winter fan fest before the players head out to spring training to kind of just remind the fans that baseball is coming, pump up excitement, sell some season tickets, sell some merchandise. Like, it's from a marketing perspective and from a business perspective, it's a really good idea, because nearly 12,000 people came to this thing, and each of them paid $15 to get in, plus paying money for autographs and buying food or any other merchandise or anything like that. And it's a very, very good thing for the team to put on, as far as that goes. And, yeah, like, you start hyping up Brewer's Fever for the season starts in 2 months. And it'll be, like, 2 months from this Friday, I think. And I wasn't going to go. And it's weird because I'm a big Brewers fan. Anybody who knows me can attest to that. And if you don't know me, just look at my blog or my website. Like, there's shit all over the place. My Facebook about Brewers, this and that. Like, it's my life. And not only is it occupy, like, my leisure time, I guess, but also my professional time as well, as I work at Miller Park during most of the home games. And when I don't work a home game, I usually go to it. So I spend an awful lot of time in my life with and about the Milwaukee Brewers. But you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way, because days like yesterday can remind me, like, how much I truly love this team. And I kind of went through the last, like, couple of, like, 2 years after Timmy died, I started reassessing my priorities and was starting to think about there's more important things in life than 25 dudes on a team playing a child's game for money. And I was just like, there's more important things in life. And I took some time away from baseball. Like, I still worked and everything, but, like, I really didn't throw my heart into it like I used to. Which really sucked, because in hindsight, I kind of missed out on a 2011 season that was pretty incredible, with them going to the playoffs and winning their division and going pretty deep in the playoffs, just missing the World Series by a game or two. And also a 2012 season that kind of saw them start off kind of slow, hit a really rough patch, and then rally back to make it interesting. Like, I was there, technically, but I wasn't really there. Like, I just wasn't excited about anything last year. And yeah, it's like, I needed the time to grieve. And I needed the time to kind of feel like shit while kind of blame myself for everything and just give myself a hard time for being happy about something. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to be mad about everything. And it's the wrong way to live. Like, granted, life sucks that people close to me have died and there's nothing I can do about it. But life's got to go on. You still got to be happy about some things. You still got to live your day to day and not let that kind of shit drag you down. Or else you're just going to be down forever. You can't go on like that. And I'm trying. And it's one thing. It's like, it's one thing to know that, and it's another thing to do it. So that's kind of where karma comes in. Like, every time you kind of think, like, shit's never going to get any better, karma steps in and kind of reminds you that there's still good in this world. It reminds you that you're still a good person. If you do good things, you try to be good, good things will happen to you. And karma kind of reminds us that there is a reason to keep living. There is some drive out there to stay alive. And of course, my good thing would come with the Brewers. But I know I'm putting it off. I know, and there's a specific reason why I know I'm putting this off, which I can't really reveal, because it would show you an insight into the recording process here. But before I get into that, karma means a lot of things for me for two reasons. First of all, as I already explained about the whole belief in the mystical being as karma and the balance in life and all that kind of stuff. I already spoke on that. But also, it's a really stupid thing, but at the same time, this is how I am. So when I was in Vegas a couple years ago for the World Series of Beer Pong, I'm at La Bayou. It's this little-ass casino, no bigger than a small apartment, I guess. And all they have is just slot machines. But they also have like daiquiris and like slushy, like alcoholic beverages. And since it's a small-ass casino, the waitress, if you're playing, sitting there playing slots, waitress comes by like every 5 minutes with a new drink. So you can just get bombed there for little to no money. And if you're breaking even on the slot machines, like, it's ridiculous. So it's like one of my favorite places to hang out. One of the few things I really do love about Vegas is I got a lot of issues against it because of all my time spent out there. And so, what does that have to do with karma? It has to do with one of the worst decisions I ever made in my life. So, I'm the kind of person that believes girls like them if they actually talk to them. Like, if a bartender, like, is smiling at me and talking to me, I'm just like, ooh, she likes me. Like, ooh, I get all giddy. It's because I haven't had much success in relationships or love, as I have talked about in the past. So it's just kind of like, any girl that pays me the single shred of attention, I just lose my fucking mind over. And so, at this casino, there's this drink, the waitress, drink girl, named Karma. Don't know if that's a real name. Maybe like strippers named like Destiny, Sapphire, and Angelique. They might not be their real names. So Karma might not be her real name, but that's how I knew her as. And she was nice to me. Like, really nice to me. And granted, and it's one of those things, I was putting money into their machines, I was tipping her, so take it as you will. But like, it might have been the booze talking and thinking, but it was nice. I really liked her and everything like that. And then so, I was hanging out in the bayou, and then my friends wanted to go across the street to Glitter Gulch. It's a strip club. And I'm like, oh yeah, strip club, sounds great. And so I left Karma. And went to Glitter Gulch and ended up paying for lap dances for myself and kind of just got stuck in the back room because it's like $20 a song or something like that for like 10 songs. I had like two girls at the same time. Every guy's dream, they were a millionaire. And I spent like $200 on lap dances. And it's $200 that I really didn't have. And so then I get out of there. And it wasn't even that great, just because, like, it's a long story. I don't have a lot of time. But it wasn't even that great just because I was uncomfortable. It was weird. I don't know. But I went back to La Bayou, and Karma was gone. And I've never seen her again. And so ever since, I've been chasing Karma. Like, I've been looking for her. Every time I go back to Vegas, I go back there looking for her, and she's not there, of course. What are the odds? But I always told myself that if I ever find that girl again, I'm going to marry her. So it's kind of become a running joke between me and Brody, my friend Brody. Because he was there with me that night, and every time when I go out to Vegas, you know, I tweet about it that I'm going to look for karma. And, you know, as to my friend, I'm going out there for a friend's wedding in March. And I'm like, well, if I find her, it's going to be a double wedding. And I tell Brody, you know, it's like, if you find her, you're going to, if you help me find her, you're going to be my best man. And so, technically, in this situation, I am talking about finding a physical karma, a beautiful girl who was really nice to me. I talk about finding her. But at the same time, it relates to my real life. How about I'm constantly searching for karma? But that's the problem. You can't look for karma. You just have to let karma find you. Because if we're meant, if we're meant for something, like the universe to pay us off for any of the harm it might have caused us, you can't go out and ask for that. You can't go out and ask for success. You can certainly work towards it. And people kind of like work hard and, you know, they get what they deserve if you really try. So, I think I've been doing it wrong, looking for karma instead of letting karma just come find me. So, I guess we'll see about that. I don't really know how else to put that. But even though I've yet to find the girl of my dreams, karma, the physical force kind of balances out the universe and kind of looks out for us and everything like that. That kind of karma found me. But that's going to be a story that we're going to get into on the drive home, as I keep looking for a reason to stay alive. So we will get into that more later. And, well, you guys take care of yourself for now. All right, so how did you appreciate the mother of all teases earlier in the first half of this episode? I would say that tease that I was giving leading up to the second part is akin to having a fully clothed but incredibly hot girl like grinding on you, knowing that it's not going to go anywhere. And you're just kind of like, God damn it. Either take off your clothes or get the hell out of here, you dirty whore. Not that that's ever happened to me before. I only employ girls who will, or I only allow girls to grind on me if they will take their clothes off then for services rendered in the almighty dollar, as I previously brought up just a few moments ago. So with karma and with back to karma, back to this weekend in specifics. Like I said yesterday, January 27th. Alright, so, as I previously teased, I went to Brewers on Deck. And, you know, the annual fan fest that they have at the convention center downtown. And I've gone several years. I went when they used to have it at Miller Park. I went at least 3 years that they've had it at the convention center. It was 1 year I took my brother James, 1 year I took Kevin, and 1 year I took my brother Timmy. And this year I took my cousin Brian. But I wasn't going to go. I wasn't planning on attending. Just because it's cool, but I can get hyped up for... Like, it's cool in the fact that it gets you hyped up for the season. But I can get hyped up for the season on my own. Like, I don't need any help. It is cool to see the players and, you know, hear from the coaches and Euchre and all that kind of stuff. But to me, it's just a little unnecessary, I guess. So that was my feelings kind of going into this thing. I'm just kind of like, eh, I'm not going to go. Even though everyone expects me to be there because I'm such a huge Brewers fan. Let's face it, like, I love this team. I love this city. I love the ballpark. I love the players. So everybody kind of expects me to go. And I go. End up having a decent time normally. One of the greatest things that could probably ever happen to me was going to this event yesterday. And it starts off by my boss at my day job giving me free tickets. Because he remembered me out of his 1,000-some employees that I'm the Brewers guy. Now, granted, I do my part by wearing like a Brewers jersey or a sweatshirt or a t-shirt or something every single day of the week. Now, especially that we have casual day every day. It used to be just every Friday that I'd wear it. So I certainly do kind of put myself in that position to be recognized. But see, that's all it is. In life, you just got to kind of, you put yourself out there and eventually you'll get noticed. And remember that because that's going to come up later in this story. So I get these tickets. Awesome. Take my cousin Brian. Now, I go to a lot of Brewers games with Brian. And we wear sombreros when we sit out in the left field bleachers. We don't do it to draw attention to ourselves. We do it because the sombrero is the symbol of the revolution, just as much as like putting your fist up in the air. The sombrero is part of who we are. I mean, over the last 3-4 years, we just wear sombreros at family events, up at Afterglow on the 3rd of July, and at Brewers games. And then when we travel on the road, we wear them as well. So the sombrero has just become like a really big part of who we are. And it has kind of become our identification, like our calling card. Like, you look out in the left field bleachers, see sombreros, it's us. And so because of that, we've gotten on TV several times. I've got recognized in other stadiums. And when we were at Brewers on Deck, and Brian didn't bring a Brewers shirt. And then he also didn't bring a sombrero, so I'm just like, hey, wear one of my shirts. And here's your sombrero you left over here last time. It's a goof. Go to an event and he doesn't even wear the clothes of said event. So we're there just walking around, just checking stuff out. And so we're wearing sombreros. And then this guy comes up to me. He's like, hey, man, you sit out in the left field bleachers, right? Like, I'm like, yeah. He's like, you get on TV and everything? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, every time that you get on TV, my friends text me and they're like, hey, buddy, you're on TV. And he's like, no, I'm not even at the game. Well, it makes sense because this guy could pretty much be either my brother or my twin. We look enough alike, both kind of similar height. He's probably a little taller than me, kind of similar build as far as like, you know, a little heavier on the midsection goes. And if you put a sombrero on him, you put him on TV, he probably could see why he'd be confused with me. So it was kind of funny. Like, I'm like, that's a humorous little tale that happened because the Brewers on Deck. So we're walking around, hanging out, checking things out. Everything's going cool. It was altogether a really good time. And we had been there for about 4 hours. And we just come to a point where it's just kind of like, might as well head home because there's nothing really happening here anymore. And we were right near the exit when we thought this. And then I told my cousin, I'm like, look, let's just take like another lap around the place to see if we missed anything or to see if anything else is going on. Just because. What's it going to hurt? So then we walk back over towards the main stage. And I run into my friend Brody, who had been there all day too. And we kind of randomly were meeting up with him at points in the day. And we were sitting there talking. And then the guy, you know, with the lanyard and the name tag comes up to me. And he asked me and Brian, he's like, hey, do you guys want to be, like, involved in a contest or a game show or something? I'm like, yeah. It's like, you guys both, like, outgoing, fun personalities. I'm like, sure. Although, I did kind of clam up when I got up on stage, but that's a little teaser there. So then he's like, well, how'd you guys like to be a part of this, like, Family Feud style face-off game show? We're like, yeah. Like, why would you say no? But so it turns out that it's going to be current Brewers players versus current Brewers minor league players. And I figured since I'm older, I'll head out with the current players. Actually, turns out I'm older than all of the current players that are in there. And then Brian, who's 24, is probably just about the same age or just a little bit older than some of those minor leaguers. So, Brian's a big, huge Brewers fan too. So me being this gigantic Brewers fan, so we go like, you know, behind the curtain, sitting backstage, and then the players walk up. They walk in. And here I am just hanging out with John Axford, Yovani Gallardo, Matt Gamble, and Chris Narveson. And then there were minor league players such as it was Josh Prince, Scooter Jeanette, Victor Roach. And there's one guy who I keep forgetting his name. And I feel like such an asshole every time I tell people like what minor league players are there. There's a fourth one that I can't remember. But I was just like starstruck. I mean, I hate to be like that guy who's sitting there just like, you know, that's my favorite guys in the world. I mean, I'm just so excited. But I couldn't help it. I just couldn't help it because it was so incredible. Just like it wasn't even happening. And I talked to Scooter Jeanette. And he's a second baseman. Was in Double A last year. And it's going to probably be down in Triple A this year. I just had a chat with him because I was like, hey, man, like, I was like, it's cool. Like, I like your nickname because his nickname is Scooter. His real name is Ryan. But I was like, I just told him, I was like, hey, when I was a kid, my dad used to call me Scooter because my name's Scott. And I was like, but unfortunately, I mean, like, the nickname didn't stick with me because, like, I'd read about his story and everything. And just, like, there's a reason why he's called Scooter. It kind of stuck. But yeah, he just thought it was like, that was funny. But then I was just chatting with him. And he just seemed like just a real normal dude. And just kind of like one of the most genuine kind of people I've ever talked to as far as their status goes. He's a professional baseball player. I mean, like, he could just be a total dick if he wanted to, but he wasn't. And, like, he was just really cool. And I... After talking to him for a couple minutes, I was just like, I felt comfortable to tell him. I'm like, you know, man, I hope to see you up in the big leagues because, like, I've been following his minor league career because he's doing really well. But I was like, but I got to be quite honest with you. Like, Ricky Weeks is my favorite baseball player. And you coming up here playing second means that Weeks is either hurt or traded. And I'm like, and I apologized. I'm just like, eh, I'm sorry. But, you know, I just told him, I was like, man, you work hard, you know, something will happen. Good things happen to people who work hard. He's like, yeah, that's what I do, man. I'm just like, all right, I'm sorry. I was like, well, I hope to see you someday. And he was really cool about it and everything. So then, as far as, like, Gamel and Narveson and Gallardo and Axford goes, I was just standing there next to them. I just didn't know what to say or do. Like, I am a pretty outgoing person. I think I got a pretty good personality and a good sense of humor and everything like that. But, dude, I fucking locked up. It's so incredible because it's like, I idolize these people. I watch them on TV every away game. I watch them from the ballpark every home game. I write about them. I obsess. I discuss them. I mean, like, these guys are just gods, like, in my book. And they just don't seem, like, real. And so it's just kind of like, I'm sitting there just freaking out. So I didn't really talk to them probably as much as I could have. I had opportunity just to chat. I did, however, kind of get in the a word with Axford. John Axford just became, like, my favorite Brewers player. Heinrich Weeks. But it might be one of my favorite people of all time. Dude, Axford is as cool as he sounds. If you follow him on Twitter or, like, hear him in interviews or anything like that, or just kind of hear any of the things he does, he is as cool as he sounds. Like, he's such an incredible person. And I talked to him about, like, you know, playing in the World Baseball Classic with Canada, and about how awkward he said. Like, I was like, it's got to be awkward. Like, there's a warm-up game when Team Canada plays against the Brewers in spring training. And I was like, dude, that's got to be weird. Like, you go sit in the dugout across from your teammates and and then play against them on the field, like, pitch against them, like, in a real kind of, I mean, granted, it's, I mean, they do it all the time in split-squad games or inter-squad games. And they said the pitchers will throw live batting practice and everything like that. But still, in a game that you're really on a different team, it's not just, you know, Brewers squad A and Brewers squad B. It's, you're on Canada versus the Brewers. I was like, that's got to be weird and everything. And we were just talking. It just seemed just like, man, that guy was so fucking cool. And so we play this game show, and it's Family Feud style. And it's like, everybody's, like, seen Family Feud, and you kind of know, like, the hell's going on. You know, ask you, like, on a survey of 100 players, such and such of people, like, how many people said blank, or what's, you know, then they give you the top 5-6 answers, whatever. And my team just crushed it. Like, these guys, like, they knew their shit. I mean, Chris Narveson, I knew, was, like, a graduated, like, summa cum laude at his college or something, like, out of college. I think that means, like, the top of the class or it's some Latin shit. Like, I don't speak other languages. Listen, I speak 2 languages. English and bad English, lady. But he's a smart guy. And Axford is one of those guys, he seems like he's kind of been around the block. He just knows shit. And then you got, like, Gallardo. He's from a different country, so he's probably got some kind of world studies or something. You know, he's lived in 2 different countries and shit. And then Matt Gamel. Well, fuck Matt Gamel. which I will explain a little bit in a minute. But, so we play this game show, and it's like, dude, I probably was just like, first of all, my mouth was so fucking dry. Like, I was trying to swallow something. I finally got some water because I'm like, I'm just dry mouthing it here. And I get out on stage and everybody's, like, looking at you and you're just like, shit. And so it was just kind of like, it was nerve-wracking, man. I'm not going to lie. Like, I can do pretty well in front of people, but not when it's, like, people that I don't know. I got to be comfortable around people so that I know kind of what I can say and what I can get away with, because my sense of humor, and should I say, it's very kind of like racy, not racy-ish, but I mean, it's just kind of like, I go a little far, but I need to know how far I can go, or else it just gets weird. People have to know that, like, I'm always kidding about shit. I don't really ever, like, say real shit or say any mean shit. I come off like an asshole, but if you know, like, I'm just fucking around and I'm not really, like, telling the truth, I'm not being honest, like, then it's funny, I think, at least. Like, it's just like, I'm just kind of a smart ass, too. And I'm kind of an idiot. But, so then, like, you know, we play this game show, and we just kick ass. And I just kind of sat there just like a fish out of water, just like, like, shit, that made me cough. Don't do that anymore. And game ends, we win, and the guys, like, take off, whatever, to the rest of their day. And it all kind of, it's kind of a blur. Just because I was trying not to, like, say or do stupid things. And there was a time, like, when they asked a question and I had no response to it. And I just kind of fucking stuttered. And just kind of like, yeah. And so I just kind of came off like an idiot because, like, I didn't know my shit. But, like, I do. I ended up getting the question right, but it was still just kind of like, So, just being able to, like, stand next to major league players is really cool. Like, it sounds so stupid, but I just care so much about this team and these players and everything like that, that it just makes that big of a difference to me. I just got all giddy. I was like, ooh! And I just couldn't contain it. I was just like a fucking, like, dribbling fool. I couldn't help it. I just really couldn't. I wish, like, I could have been more professional or just, like, more outgoing out up on stage and everything. But that's kind of, like, besides the point now that shit's all over. But that would have been prize enough alone. Like, that's outstanding. But on top of that, then I got, for my team, me winning, I guess, I got a $250 gift certificate to the MLB, like, .com store. And then I got a year's supply of Clements sausage, a year's supply of Pepsi, a Carlos Gomez worn batting practice jersey, and two tickets to opening day. And then Brian, for losing, he got a jacket, $150 jacket. And it's just insane. And so Brian and I are going to go to opening day now and probably grill up some sausages and shit. Drink some Pepsi. I mean, it was just insane. Like, and all happened because of karma, of just so many things going wrong in my life right now, and then just kind of like everything just kind of balancing itself out and rewarding me for kind of having to put up with some shit. I believe that wholeheartedly, that it was just karma's way of just kind of making everything right. And, yeah, there's material things involved, and that's not the important thing. The experience that I had is just, like, unbelievable. Like, there's something, I can always win more money or a sausage or soda or something like that, but I don't ever see myself having the ability to just hang out with major league ball players and just, like, talk to them. And just stand next to them and just be like, I feel like I'm one of the cool kids. And that's a big deal for somebody like me who was never, like, cool in high school or school or work, or the girls don't find attractive or feels like they don't fit in. And it's kind of like to be among guys like that. Those baseball players or athletes just seem like the coolest guys in the world. And so it was just, it made me feel like I mattered. It made me feel like I was somebody, I guess, for a minute. Even though I've been somebody, like. And so it was outstanding. It was just really outstanding. It was such an amazing day. And to think it would not have even happened if not for the generosity of my boss, who gave me those tickets to begin with. Or it wouldn't, and then on top of that, it had to happen because we were wearing sombreros and kind of got noticed. We stuck out in the crowd, and then the guy picked us for his show. And there's just too much that happening to be like random chance. Like, it's either some form of God looking out for us, or some form of karma. Just kind of making sure, like, you know, when shit's going really bad and you're sad and everything like that, you know, there's going to step in and cheer you up and get you feeling good again, because I'm going to ride this high for a little while. This is a really cool thing that happened to me. And it's kind of hard to be upset about anything right now. Yeah, are all the things that used to upset, that have upset me, are they still there? Of course they are. Are the things that I'm always going to be upset about, or things I'm going to worry about or cry about and everything? Like, yeah, that stuff's always going to be there. But there's little moments that happen in life when you're kind of reminded that it's not all bad. That there is so much to love in life. And there are so many things to be thankful about. And there's so many just wonderful moments. And that is the reason that we continue like this drive to stay alive. Because there will always be another reason to keep on living if you just kind of give yourself the opportunity to make it to the next day. So just like, don't do anything stupid. Don't waste your time. Don't waste those moments. If you have an opportunity to do something, go ahead and do it, because you just never know. You never know when you might be pulled out of the crowd to do something that's incredibly memorable and that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And all it took was for me to just to be there. And I was there because of something else. And I was there because I did something else, because I've committed to something over the course of my life. And so it's incredible. It really is. And if my drive to stay alive is finding those little moments that remind me why life is wonderful and why life is so beautiful, then I'm going to keep living. In order to keep feeling like I did yesterday and how I feel today about it, like, I'm going to keep living for those sole reasons. Just to keep finding out new adventures, going through new life experiences, just to it's so incredible. So live life, love life, enjoy it. And until I talk to you guys again, have a great day. And I hope that if you're feeling down, karma's there to bail you out. And if you're going good, don't flaunt it. Don't, you know, rub it in people's faces, because shit's going to catch up to you every now and then. and kind of bring you back down again. So enjoy it while it's good, and don't hate yourself too much when it's bad. So, and then like I always say, man, my friends, just keep on driving. We'll see you next time.